We're in a series of messages that deal with following Jesus in the 21st century. And many of us face tough questions. It's questions that happen from coworkers or friends, or a question that pops into our thoughts as we see the news or drive to work. And I'm trying to help us think biblically about those. And so the first thing I'll say is, if you have a question, something in this life or world has put a question and you go, how does my faith, how am I supposed to deal with that issue? Please put it on the board outside. I have a newsprint because I want these to be issues that people really face. And what we want to do is we want to deal with them respectfully and lovingly, because we might disagree. That's okay. And so after the conclusion of the service, and people have about 10 minutes to grab a cup of tea or coffee or something, I'll come back in here, and if you want to discuss today's topic further, or you have questions or comments or something, we'll take care of that in here if that's helpful for you. And if not, just enjoy fellowship hour and, greet people. It's okay. You won't offend me if you don't come in here. And, I won't go home super pumped if everyone comes in. I just want to help. And today's question, next slide, was what should our response be to the poor? Now, let me tell you, that's a pretty big topic. And one of the kind of sub-themes of that was, what do we do with income inequality? Okay, yeah, we're going to solve that in 25 minutes here, and the world's going to be a better place. I wish I could do it. I wish it would be that easy. But I do want to cause us to grapple with that. The fact that some people have more than other people, that things are not fair in life, is nothing new. It's been around forever. Because when sin entered the world, relationships broke, selfishness flooded in, and problems happened. Even Jesus said, "The poor you will always have with you." Now, that is not a license to disregard the poor. It is simply a statement that says, as long as our world is captive to sin, there are going to be injustices in this world. And so what I want us to do today is to begin thinking about this question by listening to God's Word. And I've realized in the last 20 minutes or so that I had way too much for us to hear. So give us some grace as I work with Tisha to jump around a little bit. But I want to begin with God's Word, but first, just a pause to pray. God, my prayer is that we hear Your heartbeat in Your Word. That's really it. That we hear Your heartbeat in the Word. Some of the screens that I put up here will be kind of like the rolling credits after the end of a movie, and you may not catch all that's on it. It's okay. I actually have a booklet prepared, so any scripture I refer to is in here. Don't turn off the screens, but part of the reason for that is I simply want you to see that there are a few topics in Scripture that have the incredible breath that God's heart for the poor does from beginning to end. So with that, let's go. The Bible is God's story. And from the beginning to the end, it tells how God continuously rescues those who are in need. Physical need and spiritual need. And when God called to Himself a people, He wanted to embed in that people a desire to show that same love, the love He has for people, to desire to show that to others around them. And so God has a great deal to say in setting up His Old Testament people about how they are to care for the poor. So, now again, I know you couldn't read all that. I simply wanted you to see a sense of the volume, and that's not everything. This is not a random topic for God. This is not, oh, I'll talk about it today and then leave it alone for centuries. It's at the very heart of God. You see, when God tried to embed His law into His people, He was trying to give them a piece of Himself. Listen to this. God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow, and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. The Lord raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. God's heart breaks for people in need. And that is just throughout the Scriptures. The Psalms sing of God's heart, and we'll skip the next slide. The Proverbs, which is a book of, literally it's a book of fatherly wisdom. It's a father trying to teach his son how to live in this world. That book has numerous places where the father instructs the son on how to care for those in need. The prophets. Oh my goodness. The prophets were men sent by God. When God's people had strayed, the prophets were God's covenant enforcers. Go down and explain to them, tell them, help them know what we're supposed to be about as God's people. And the prophets are filled with language about caring for the poor and the needy, about helping those who are not getting a just way. And again, I won't have those. Well, go ahead. We'll let that one scroll. Just again so you can see. And again, I don't anticipate you were able to read all that unless you're a great speed reader. But I want you to see the breath of God's heart. And I have all those. You can read them in your leisure after. And Jesus comes. And He launches His ministry proclaiming the good news of God to the poor. Luke 4. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah. So he's reaching into the words of the prophet and he's pulling those words from the Old Testament and he's saying, these are words that give life to who I am and why God has sent me here. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling the scroll, he found the place where it is written. He picked the place. He chose these words to launch his ministry. The Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because He, the Lord, has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed. And then He rolled up the scroll and He said to the audience, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Jesus. The Son of God, God in human flesh, continued to teach the people about the heartbeat of God, which said, care for those in need. You can do the next one. Probably the heart of Jesus' message is captured in the latter part of Matthew 25, beginning in verse 31, and I'll read these to you. Jesus explains that when the Son of Man comes in His glory, He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right and His goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer Him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" And the King will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." And then I will say to those on the left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." And they also will answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and didn't help you? I mean, God, if we knew it was you, we would have helped you." And He will reply, "I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." And I had more scriptures prepared that show how the apostles took this message of God and brought it right into their ministry. But again, you can check those out. Folks, the God of this book, the God of the Scriptures, has a heart for the poor. God's heart breaks for the poor and the disadvantaged and the downcast and the stigmatized and those who get the hammer blow of injustice. We're after all the black screens. God's heart breaks for people in need. And that's the first and most important thing I want us all to realize from this quick walk through Scripture. God's heart breaks because sin has destroyed the fabric of the good and perfect world that He created. And when sin broke the world, it didn't just, break individual human beings. It did that. We have all have that big capital S selfish gene in our bodies. But when we create systems as human beings, we take that big capital S selfish part of our body and then we build that into our systems, and the systems of this world are not fair to everybody. And so some people are poor or marginalized or discriminated against because of the systems we have created. And that's why God calls us to do justice. And sometimes that capital S selfish part of us, that gene in us, thank you, Father Adam and Mother Eve, causes us to make decisions that destroy our lives and throw us down. And you know what? I don't believe God makes the judgment whether it's the system pushing someone down or a bad choice that pushed someone down. God's heart cries because those people are hurting. God has a heart for the hurting. And what God is doing in His Word is inviting His people to come close enough to God Himself that our heart begins to beat in rhythm with His heart, so that we have God's heart for those who are hurting, who are in need, who are downcast, who are broken, who truly can say, life isn't fair. What's our response supposed to be to those who are poor or in need? It's supposed to be a response like God would have. The Godhead kind of got together one day, and they knew from all eternity they would do this. And Jesus, at the beckon of the Father, willingly left His throne of grace, absolute wonder, to become a human being, to step into our poverty with God's message of love and care and redemption. Did everyone embrace Jesus and find the truth of God's love and care? No. But did He throw Himself back and say, I'm not going to go all in because some of them aren't going to be all in? No, He said, I'm all in. And I will give away God's love lavishly in the hopes that most, some, all would receive it. Now there have been times in history and particular situations when people have mirrored that heart of God. And I'll tell you just one story. It actually comes from 1950, Korea. It's probably 6-8 months after the Korean War has started. And people in northern Korea are fleeing south to get away from the fighting. And when you flee from fighting, I mean, you know, you don't, you know, load up the station wagon and, you know, you grab what you can and you go. And there were literally thousands upon thousands of people who had grabbed the little they could and were fleeing for their life and safety. And a pastor in one of the southern parts of Korea, and I forget the name of the town, gathered together with his people Sunday morning, 4 a.m. Sunday morning. It was 8 degrees outside. And people pushed in. And he looked out at his swollen congregation, and most of the people themselves had a jacket maybe like this on, or something like that. They were clothed in cotton and they were ill prepared. And some of them had been living on the streets. And he ushered them in and he said, huddle in together. You know, no chairs, none of that. Just huddle in. And part of that was simply because it's warmer if we're closer. And he said, outside our sanctuary and outside our city walls, the neighborhoods and the city is swelling with refugees, people who have coming because they are afraid for their lives. They have trudged over 200 miles from the north. And as a part of his service, people hung on every word. And then he stood before the communion table and he said to his people, we have to do something. And I know you don't have very much, but I'm still asking all of us to do whatever we can, because these people flooding into our cities have nothing. And a gentleman from that side got up. He took off his jacket, and then he took off his vest, and he placed the vest on the communion table. as the pastor called for an offering of clothing. A young mother from that side of the congregation came forward. She was holding her year-old or so baby in her arms, and she took the sweater off her baby, and she laid her baby's sweater on the table, and then she took her daughter and brought her up underneath her own clothing and held her tight. Folks, that kind of love can't be mandated. You can't set a rule that says, okay, today everybody is going to give an article of clothing for those who are in need. That kind of love only comes when people get close enough to God that they can hear His heartbeat. And then their heart begins to mimic the rhythm of God and do something. That story also reminds me that every one of us can do something. In that Korean church, even those who we probably would say were the poor could help those who were less off, well off than they were. So if I could do anything today, I would ask that God would come down right now and break every one of our hearts, mine included. That God would come and His heartbeat would be so palpable here that our hearts began to beat with His, and then see where God would draw us and lead us as people. But I have a couple suggestions. Some of you are decision makers in life, in a company, in a corporation, in a, you know, a club, a committee, something like that. Some of you are decision makers. One, if you're in a company or corporation and you're a decision maker, pay your employees a livable wage. Please. Let the heartbeat of God such that you pay people a livable wage. Whether they're the custodian cleaning up, or the secretary greeting at the door, or they're, you know, whoever, please pay a livable wage. And if you have the option, consider modeling generosity. So I have a friend who, he's retired now, but he owned a machine shop. At the height of his business, he had about 80 employees, and they were churning out stuff for the auto industry. And he talked to me one day, and he said, I've come up with this idea to kind of help my people get a sense of generosity. So he said, as the owner, he said, I'm going to dedicate, and I think it was 1% of what we make, you know, not the gross, the net. So we're going to donate 1% to give away to charity. But I want this to be something that I can use to help my people. And so what they did is he let all the workers have a piece of how it was distributed. And he set the parameters, and he said, these are the kinds of places we'll give it to. And then they helped choose where the money could go. And they could, if they wanted to, donate 1% of their income. Nobody knew who, and it would go into that pile. But he said, I wanted to model generosity, to show people it's good to help. So maybe some of you are decision makers and you can do something creative like that. I challenge you to think about it. But let it come from the heart of God, not guilt or any other reason. And then to those of us beyond the decision maker part, hold up a mirror and ask yourself, how are you doing? Take a look, if you can, into your heart and say, am I beating anywhere near the rhythm of God? Open up your personal spreadsheet and take a look at where your income goes. And you know, I've said it before, I really believe our first, I'll call it charitable giving, I don't believe it's charity, but our first, you know, kind of giving away from us should go to the church. After that, to other things that honor God, and giving to the poor honors God. How are you doing in all of that? Is there a way you could make an adjustment in your living to move closer to God? Or maybe you're doing extraordinarily well. This is not about guilt. This is about hearing the heart of God and then saying, am I moving closer to the heartbeat of God? We have a food pantry because some of our own folks here struggle week to week with enough food. You know, have you ever bought a bag of groceries and put it in the food pantry? I think the last thing I would encourage us is to don't let it be only about dollars and cents. And the reason I say that is I can put money in a plate. You know, the churches I grew up in had a poor box. I could drop my coins in a poor box, but never connect with the life of somebody in need. And at least the few times I've done that, it's at those moments when I can measure the heartbeat of God. Sometimes just putting the money in the plate allows me to stand off and think I'm done. Now, there's a lot more to this issue, and if you want to talk about it, we can do that later after, you know, the service ends. But my plea is to consider the heart of God towards people who are in need and allow His heartbeat to begin to set the rhythm for our heartbeats. God, thank You that You have that heartbeat because we were needy. And You reached across the divide of time to grab our lives. Continue to draw us close to You so that Your heartbeat will warm us, that Your power will cover over the stain of sin in our life, and the big-ass selfishness will grow smaller and smaller as we walk longer and longer with You. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite the ushers to come forward.